Lord, will bless them today and keep his hand upon them, but in this time, the days to come, in his perfect words. The Lord bless your families today and keep his hand upon all of them. May he minister to our hearts through his word, and may Christ have all the honor and the glory in the service. We will unite our hearts together in a word of prayer, committing this time to the Lord at the throne of grace. Let us pray. Our gracious God and our eternal, loving Heavenly Father, we draw nigh to thee this afternoon in the precious name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for the occasion that brings us into thy house and into this time of worship. We thank thee for the love that has entered into the hearts of Ben and Julia for each other. Lord, for thee working in their lives and bringing them together and bringing them to this point. We pray today as they are joined together in matrimony, that Lord, thou would bless them and be with them. May they know thy grace being their portion. We pray that Christ would be the center of their lives, the center of their home, and the center of all that lies ahead of them. We pray that in all things they would give him the honor and the glory. We pray for their families today too, and all who gathered in this service, that Lord, thou would minister to our hearts. We might see something afresh of Christ our Savior. We think of this marriage ceremony today and the union of this man and this woman being a symbol of that mystical union between Christ and his church. We ask, Lord, today that our hearts and minds might be fastened upon him, and that in all that is said and done in this service, that our God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, might have the preeminence. We pray that we bless Ben and Julia. Go with them from this day forward. We ask, Lord, they would know thee to guide them and lead them, to lift up thy countenance upon them, to give them grace and peace, to bless them in their going out and their coming in. And Lord, we pray that they might magnify thy name together, that they would exalt thee in their homes and in their lives, and Lord, thou would do them good. So abide with us here today. We find thee, we come into thy house with the confession of thy goodness and thy grace, and also with the prayer that thou would continue to minister unto us, we might know thy hand resting upon us for good. So abide with us now, we pray. We ask that thy name be glorified in this service for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Who gives this woman to be married to this man? At this point in our service, we're going to sing. You have a program, and in the middle of that program are three stanzas to a hymn. I'm going to ask that you stand with me as we sing. My song is Love Unknown. Please stand with me as we sing.
Thank you.
may be seated. At this point in the service, it's my privilege to give a charge to the bride and groom, and I want to begin by looking at Ephesians chapter 5. So we'll read from that portion of Scripture, and it deals with marriage, and it's Paul giving instructions to both the wife and the husband as to how they are to conduct themselves in the home. In verse 22, he says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish." We'll end our reading there at verse 27 and trust that the Lord will add his own blessing to this reading from his inspired word. I have known you both for a long time. I knew Ben first when he was born, and I was here for 7 years as the assistant pastor as you were growing up. And then when you became seven, I left town and went up to Malvern, where I came in contact with the Kearns family and with Julia. It's been a joy for me to watch you as you grow, as you've come to faith in Christ, as you've allowed Christ to lead and guide your lives, and eventually to guide you to this step. And tonight, today, it's truly a blessing for me to be here and have a part in this service alongside of Pastor Mercer. Many marriages today do not succeed. That is a fact that is well documented. And when we think of why they do not succeed, oftentimes the wrong concept of marriage is in their thinking. They are following after something other than what the Scripture says in marriage. The God who created the world and created us knows exactly what marriage is about, and he has given us directions as to how we ought to conduct ourselves in marriage. So I want to look at just a few things that the Scripture says about marriage, about your marriage, as we consider it first, and then we'll go into the part of saying your vows. The first thing I'd bring to your attention is that marriage is a covenant. It's a covenant between the two of you. You have already entered into a covenant with your God. Jesus Christ was part of the covenant of redemption when he came into this world, and he fulfilled that covenant. And then you have entered into that covenant, the new covenant, when you came to trust in Christ. The Bible also, though, speaks of your relationship one with another as being a covenant. You're going to make vows today. You're going to make promises one to the other. In many circles, the wedding ceremony is all about the ceremony. Once the ceremony has come and gone, the actual vows are forgotten. In reality, for a believer, the vows are what are the most important part of the ceremony, even this day. And so we're going to look at these vows and have you declare your love one to the other this afternoon. I don't know who wrote the vows that you'll be speaking. I suppose I could Google it and find out, but I don't know who wrote it. But I do know that whoever it was, they went to the Scriptures first to find out what the Scripture says about marriage. And so it says that we are to be husband and wife in sickness and in health, when we are rich or when we are poor, and that this is to be the guiding influence in our life, not our riches, not our health, but the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we will be coming to these vows in just a minute. But before we do, let me bring you to a second thought. Not only is marriage a covenant, it is also a creation. We could say a new creation. We could say the formation of a new family. In the Old Testament, in the Garden of Eden, it was said by Adam Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Now when Adam said that, he had no children. He was anticipating the fact that God was going to use he and his wife to reproduce, and then when they did, the command was then given that they were to leave their parents and form a new marriage. In leaving your parents, you don't stop honoring them and showing them reverence. In leaving your parents, you don't stop asking for their wisdom. They have a lot of experience that you have not yet gained, and it's good to have that wisdom at your fingertips and to ask them. But what we're dealing with here is the fact that a new family has been formed. And now you are required to build in that family, to indeed do the things of that family that God requires of you. And so today there is a new creation, the creation of a family that wasn't there before. Thirdly, a marriage is also a time of communion, a time of communion. It's not merely saying words and having a covenant, it is that, but it's also communing one with another and communing with your God. Both of you have come to a saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what it is to commune with him. You have had him speak to your heart through the reading of the word, through the preaching of the word. You know that by faith you commune with him. You know that through the blood of Christ you commune with him. And if the faith is missing or the pleading of the blood over your sins is missing, your ability to commune with God is also much diminished. We have been brought into this union with him. Now he is bringing you into a union between the two of you. And a time of deep communion is what lies ahead for you. In a very real sense, it still requires faith on your part, not only in God, but in each other. It is your ability to trust one another that allows you to be intimate in your speaking and dealing with each other. You must be able to trust. You also must know the power of the blood of Christ to not only cleanse your sins, but as you look at the failures in each other's lives, to be able to say, I will freely and willingly forgive my spouse. If you're not willing to do that, then contention and hardship come to the marriage. We all need to be cleansed daily by the blood of Christ. And because we need it from him, we need it from each other as well. And so we join together here in a covenant whereby we are going to trust one another, whereby we are going to forgive one another. And by doing that, there is then a communion that flows from that trust and that forgiveness, whereby you can come to each other and you can speak freely and can love each other and go forward. I think I spoke to you when we were going through some counseling that there, contrary to the movie set, that there is no paradise here on earth. There is no paradise. But the closest thing to paradise are two sinners who have had their sins forgiven, and they're living out of love to each other, and they're doing that which God requires of them. That is as close as you're going to get on this earth before Christ returns. And so marriage is a covenant. It is a creation. It is also a real communion, not only with our Savior, but with one another. Lastly, I bring you to the attention of the passage that we read, and that in marriage there is to be a Christ-likeness in you, each one of you. I was thrilled last night to hear the testimonies the others gave concerning you. One of the things that was said over and over again, Julia, had to do with the fact that you have a servant's heart. Well, that goes well into what is being commanded in Ephesians chapter 5. We are to submit to our husbands. And that is also a following after Christ. Jesus Christ was the one who left his Father's glory, and he came into this earth to do his Father's bidding. And he submitted himself to the Father and obeyed the Father completely so that you and I can be saved. And then that becomes an example to us of what real submission and obedience is all about. So in Philippians chapter 2, Paul says we're to have this mind in us, which was also in Christ Jesus. What mind? This mind of becoming a servant and then dying for the sins of his people. Well, that becomes the standard then of all of God's people, including the church. And then that becomes the standard as well for the wife. And you are, as it were, robing yourself with the garments of Christ when you take the position that Paul speaks of in Ephesians chapter 5. And so you're commanded to submit to your husband, and in doing so, you're really like the church, submitting to the Christ who has already set the example for what it is to walk in obedience and submission. It doesn't mean, though, that you're not to love your husband. I saw that written in a book once, and I wanted to throw the book against the wall. Of course you're to love your husband, and the Bible actually commands it. In Titus chapter 2, Paul tells Titus to instruct the young women to love their husbands and to love their children. But in this passage in Ephesians, Paul is stressing what ought to be the stress upon your heart, and that is that you are going to obey Christ and that this is the way that you are to obey him. For you, the scripture is abundantly clear as well that you're to have an active love for the bride because you have been actively loved by Christ. Christ has come into this world and died for our sins. You know that by experience. The forgiveness of sins comes through his death. The imputed righteousness is given to you at the moment you believe. You become a child of God. You become a joint heir of Jesus Christ. All of that comes about the moment Jesus Christ comes into your heart and soul when you are saved. You also are to follow his image. And in what the scripture says concerning this in Ephesians 5 is that you are to show the same love to your bride that he shows to you. The same love that he shows to the church, you are to show to Julia. It's a sacrificial love. It's a giving love. And you are to give that love to her to meet her needs and to satisfy her as she's walking here below. Here you have the commands of God given, and they're given in such a way that they complement one another. When Adam was created, he didn't have a complement. He didn't have one who was a help to meet his needs. And so God made a helper who would be suitable to Adam. And in a sense, that's what he has done here. He has brought you both together. He has not made you the same. You wouldn't want that. You want a complement. You want that which is going to help each other. And so you have strengths that perhaps she does not have. And you have strengths that perhaps he does not have. And you're to use your time together to not fight with one another, but instead build up a home by giving to that home what God has put within you. So if you will observe what Paul says in Ephesians 5, you will be giving Julia to Ben exactly what he desires. And Ben, you'll be giving to Julia exactly what she desires. You'll note that there's no conditions on these commands. By that I mean that they're given to us not with the understanding, well, if she doesn't do what she is told, I don't have to love her anymore. No, the command is still there. And if he doesn't do what he is told, I don't have to revere and be subject to him anymore. No, the command is there. It's given freely to us as his people, and it's to be obeyed. And for that reason, it continues on and on and on. I've only touched on four things. The scripture speaks about marriage from beginning to end. But if you would work and labor in these four areas, you're going to find that God will give you a prosperous marriage and a very joyous one. And we trust that that will indeed be the case. We come now to the vows. Let me speak first for a minute to the congregation. Beloved, we are gathered together here in the sight of God and in the face of this company to join together this man and this woman in the sacred covenant of marriage. It is our privilege to hear their vows and to seek for them the help and blessing of the Lord. The Word of God sets forth marriage as a divine institution. It is a symbol of the union that exists between Christ and His church. And it is a means of blessing to individuals, stability to society, and the nurturing of children. The Lord ordained that in marriage, the husband and wife should have fellowship one with another, that they twain shall be one flesh, and that children who are the heritage of the Lord should be brought up in the atmosphere of a godly home with Christ at the heart of that home. Marriage is not to be entered into rashly, thoughtlessly, carelessly, or without due considerations of the ends for which the Lord ordained it. Into this holy estate, these two persons present come now to be joined. Wherefore, if anyone can show any just cause why they may not lawfully be joined together in marriage, let him now declare it, or else hereafter forever hold his peace. Also, I require and charge you both, as you shall answer at the day of judgment, that if either of you know of any just cause why you may not lawfully be joined in marriage, you do now confess it. Repeat after me. I do solemnly declare,
I do solemnly declare,
that I know not of any lawful impediment,
that I know not of any lawful impediment,
why I, Benjamin David Gardner,
why I, Benjamin David Gardner,
should not be joined in matrimony to Julia Marie Kearns.
Should not be joined in matrimony to Julia Marie Kearns.
I do solemnly declare,
I do solemnly declare,
that I know not of any lawful impediment,
that I know not of any lawful impediment,
why I, Julia Marie Kearns, should not be joined in matrimony to Benjamin David Gardner.
Should not be joined in matrimony to Benjamin David Gardner.
Okay. You'd face each other. Will you have this woman to be your lawful wedded wife, to live together after God's ordinance in the holy estate of matrimony? Will you love her, comfort her, honor and keep her in sickness and in health, performing the duties of a Christian husband to her, and forsaking all others, keep you only unto her as long as you both shall live? Will you have this man to be your lawful wedded husband, to live together after God's ordinance in the holy estate of matrimony? Will you love him, obey, honor, and keep him in sickness and in health, performing the duties of a Christian wife to him, and forsaking all others, keep you only unto him as long as you both shall live?
I do.
Repeat after me, Ben. I call upon these persons here present,
I call upon these persons here present,
to witness that I, Benjamin David Gardner,
to witness that I, Benjamin David Gardner,
do take you, Julia Marie Kearns,
do take you, Julia Marie Kearns,
to be my lawful wedded wife,
to be my lawful wedded wife,
for better, for worse,
for better, for worse,
for richer, for poorer,
for richer, for poorer,
in sickness and in health,
in sickness and in health,
to love and to cherish,
to love and to cherish,
till death us do part.
Till death us do part.
Julia, I call upon these persons here present,
I call upon these persons here present,
to witness that I, Julia Marie Kearns,
to witness that I, Julia Marie Kearns,
do take you, Benjamin David Gardner,
do take you, Benjamin David Gardner,
to be my lawful wedded husband. For better, for worse. For richer, for poorer. In sickness and in health. To love and to cherish. Till death us do part. Place the ring on the third finger of the left hand with these words. I give you this ring,
I give you this ring,
as a token and memorial,
as a token and memorial,
that I have taken you to be my wife. Repeat after me. I give you this ring as a token and memorial that I have taken you to be my husband. The bride and bridegroom are now going to sign the covenant here at this point in the service. Whom God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. For as much as Ben and Julia have covenanted together in holy wedlock before God and in the presence of this company, I now declare them to be husband and wife in the name of the triune God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We leave with them the old Aaronic blessing, the Lord bless thee and keep thee, the Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Let's seek the Lord's face in prayer. Our Father in heaven, truly we are in joy this day for what you have done in the lives of Ben and Julia. We are thankful for their salvation. We're thankful that you have led them to come together as husband and wife. And as one congregation, as one man, we come to thee asking for your blessing to be upon them. Lord, use them mightily in the days ahead. Give them grace to serve thee and to joy in thy presence. And Lord, we ask that you would guide their steps as they would seek to glorify thy great name. Be with us in the remainder of this day. Be with us at the reception. Lord, we're thankful for all the provisions and food that you give. Lord, we just praise thee for your presence here, even in this meeting. It's in Christ Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. It is my privilege and great joy to present to you Second Lieutenant and Mrs. Benjamin Gardner.